Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to this week's Torah portion from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. This message is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. The Torah portion this week is called Tzav, and it means command. The portion is Leviticus chapter 6, starting at verse 8, going to chapter 8, verse 36. The Haftarah is Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 21 to 34, Jeremiah 8, verses 1 to 3, and Jeremiah 9, verses 22 and 23. And the Brit Hadashah is Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28, and Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. And let's say a word of prayer before we get started. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Abba, we thank you and praise you, for you are blessed, and you are the creator of the universe, and you are the king of our Hebrew nation, and I thank you and praise you for your Sabbath, and for your feasts, and for all of your Torah, for giving us understanding and for being with us and protecting us and providing for us, sometimes even when we don't deserve it. You are just and true and loving and kind, and we thank you and praise you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay, well, this Torah portion, as I said, is Tzav, and it starts at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, and so we're just going to start reading. The Lord spoke to Moses, deliver these orders to Aaron and his sons concerning the regulations for burnt offerings. The burnt offering is to remain on the hearth of the altar throughout the entire night until morning, and the fire on the altar is to be kept burning along with it. The priest is to clothe himself with linen robes and underclothes, and then he is to take the ashes of the burnt offering on the altar that had been consumed by the fire and set them beside the altar. Then he is to change his clothes, dressing himself with a different set of clothes, and take the ashes to a clean place outside the camp. The fire on the altar is to be kept burning continuously without being extinguished. The priest is to burn wood on it every morning, arrange burnt offerings over it, and then spread the fat contained in the peace offerings over it. You'll remember that last week I said that at first glance it looks like the command there to, take the burnt offering, and what you do is you get the fire and you put wood on it. And I said, remember that, it seems a little bit backwards, but really what it is that there is already a fire that's burning continuously, and what you do is to prepare the morning altar by putting more wood on that altar, and so there's already a fire. What you do then when somebody brings an offering is you add wood to the fire for that offering, and then you put the pieces of the animal on the altar. And so, therefore, it makes that scripture last week make a little bit more sense, doesn't it? The fire is to continue to burn on the altar and is never extinguished. This is the law regarding grain offerings. Now we're going to switch from animal offerings to grain offerings. Aaron's sons are to offer it in the Lord's presence in front of the altar. He is to take a handful of fine flour for a grain offering, some olive oil, all of the frankincense on the grain offering, and make a sacrifice of smoke on the altar as a memorial portion, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Aaron and his sons are to eat what remains of the unleavened offering at this sacred place, the court of the tent of meeting. So here we have specified for us now that the grain offering is an unleavened offering. Unleavening, or something that is not leavened, is a very important part of the Lord's altar. And it's also a very important part of the Passover and unleavened bread that we have coming up very soon. And I'm going to give you some more details about that in a minute, because I think it's very important. And he says, it is not to be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion out of my offerings made by fire. It is a most holy thing, like the sin and guilt offerings. So Aaron and his sons get a portion of the offerings. They get a portion of the meat. They get a portion of the grain. And this is their portion. This is how the Lord feeds them as being priests. And there's significant things in there too, because, you know, as they eat their portions, they are in effect doing what Yeshua did for us, which is taking upon themselves the sacrifice, you see. And so, this is what their function is. They function it collectively like our Messiah functions, taking the sin, the sacrifice and the guilt upon themselves like he takes it upon himself. But I want to talk with you about leaven. And the reason is because I hear all the time that leaven represents sin in our life. That's not true. Leavening does not represent sin in our life. And so hang in here with me. I'm going to tell you what it does represent. But I want to tell you that it's important for us to understand what leaven does mean. Because, you know, we understand that the enemy has taken away from us understandings that can keep us trapped. For instance, with the Sabbath, you know, we didn't keep the Sabbath, did we? Our understanding was that the Sabbath was on Sunday. Well, it turns out that, you know, the Sabbath got twisted by the enemy. And when we began to understand that, then we obeyed and are now keeping the Sabbath. That's just one example. Well, this thing about leaven is like that. It's an understanding that we need to a change in our thinking, a definition that we need to change in our thinking so that we will be looking at the right thing and looking in ourselves for the right thing at the time of Passover. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and start at verse 1. The Messiah has set us free so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. So keep on standing firm in it and stop putting yourselves under the yoke of slavery again. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, the Messiah will be of no benefit to you. Again, I insist that everyone who allows himself to be circumcised is obligated to obey the entire law. Those of you who are trying to be justified by the law have been cut off from the Messiah. You have fallen from grace. What's he talking about here? He's not talking about disobeying Abraham or disobeying the covenant. He's talking about joining with the Jews in the temple system as circumcised, converted Gentiles being converted to and circumcised to Judaism. That's what he's talking about. There's a Hebrew idiom going on here. Circumcised means that you have converted to Judaism in the Hebrew idiom. And so what he's saying is, don't join with the Jews. And in fact, you know, he gets into this argument in Romans about, you know, because what he's got in Romans is a congregation that has newly converted Gentiles in it, along with Jews. And so he's got these two different audiences where he's trying to explain to one of them, yes, you need to be circumcised, and to the other ones, no, you don't need to be circumcised. What is he saying when he's trying to put these two things together? Well, first of all, we know that he's talking about circumcision of the heart. But is he telling Gentiles not to physically be circumcised? No. Because the Hebrew idiom is to be circumcised is to join Judaism. No, we're supposed to go ahead and be circumcised, but we're not supposed to do it in connection with converting to Judaism, because there is much error in Judaism, and that's what Paul is trying to point out in the book of Romans. And so he's here again in Galatians trying to get these people to understand, because everyone knew the Jews as the circumcised. So you don't want to become a Jew. That's not what you want to do. What you want to do is become a Hebrew and be circumcised, but not in connection with Judaism. So that's what Paul is up against here, and that's what he's talking about. And we're going to understand this a little bit more when we get down to verse 9. But let's continue reading at verse 5. Through the Spirit, by faith, we confidently await the fulfillment of our righteous hope, for in union with Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. Neither being a Jew or being a Gentile matters, as long as you're converted. Well, let me explain that a little bit further, because once you convert, you're no longer a Gentile. You're a Hebrew, but you're an uncircumcised Hebrew according to the Jews, and that is the way they look at it even today. If you are a Hebrew and you're circumcised and you've gotten circumcised since you've been in this walk, the Jews don't look at you as circumcised. They don't think you're circumcised. They don't care what happened to you at your birth, or that after you converted to being a Hebrew, came out of the Christian church and started keeping the commandments and the Sabbath and the feasts and the dietary laws. They don't care. If you haven't gone to them and been circumcised, they regard you as uncircumcised. So you see, this is what Paul is trying to tell us here. So he says, in Messiah, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, you see, because everybody has to be circumcised, but not in Judaism. There is neither Jew nor uncircumcised Hebrew, you see. I hope that's making sense, because Paul, we have a hard time understanding Paul. We superimpose our current culture's mores onto what he said, and then we superimpose on top of that our doctrinal Christian understanding and our lack of Hebrew idioms and not understanding the Hebrew language and not understand the culture back at that time. We totally missed this. So I hope that now you understand that what he's talking about here is circumcision is Jews and uncircumcision is everybody else according to the Jews. But really what it is that there is Jews and there's Hebrews in this verse, because the Jews regard the Hebrews as uncircumcised. I hope I've made that clear now. What he says here, what matters is faith expressed through love. You are running the race beautifully. Who cut in on you and stopped you from obeying the truth? See, something's been going on here with this congregation at Galatia. You remember back in the book of Acts in chapter 15 where the Pharisees stepped up and confronted the apostles and said that they think that all converts must be circumcised. And the apostles said, no, we're not going to circumcise them. Why would they say, no, we're not going to circumcise them? What they were saying is that we're not going to convert them to Judaism. Why is this necessary to even have this conversation? Well, it's because now you have congregations in which you have people who have converted from being Gentile to being Hebrew, and they're going to the same congregation as the Jews. They're going to the synagogues. And so when you're in the synagogue, with two different and opposing viewpoints on this, you're going to have problems. And the Pharisees, being what they were, they had this idea that, you know, they needed to go around and get everybody to join with them. But when you would become circumcised, that meant that you then were obligated to keep the Talmud, which is an addition to the Torah. Now, verse 8, such influence does not come from the one who calls you. And then in verse 9, he says, a little yeast or a little leaven spreads through the whole batch of dough. All right, let's take a look at leaven, and let's get a better understanding of this. Literally, leaven is sourdough. Leaven is sourdough in a high state of fermentation, and it gets mixed with new dough to prepare it for baking. So basically, leaven is mixing the impure into the pure. Now, you know, Yeshua warned people in Matthew chapter 16, verses 6 to 12. He said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Now, what was he talking about leaven there? Well, in the New Testament, the idea of leaven was used to illustrate the effects of teachings, especially false teachings, false doctrines. Leaven has a fermenting quality about it, and it has an effect upon new dough. So think about this. Everywhere Paul went, the Pharisees had been there, and they had been affecting the new dough, the new converts, you see. They were leaven. They had doctrines that said, oh, you can't come to the Lord unless you get circumcised, which to them meant joining Judaism. You have to convert to Judaism. It wasn't enough that people converted from being Gentile to being Hebrew and were now into a spiritual covenant with the Lord where they were keeping the Sabbath, the feasts, and the dietary laws and everything. And by the way, during this period, these people were not permitted to bring sacrifices, okay? The Jews separated the Gentiles and would not let them sacrifice at the temple. There was a dividing wall there. They could not go in and do the proper thing that needed to be done with the sacrifices. And so Paul was fighting that as well. So the Pharisees, they were the old fermented sourdough. They were the old leaven, and they would get in with the new dough. They would get into the congregations where the new converts were. And, you know, if the converts joined the synagogue, then there was that influence in that as well. So these new converts were being influenced. They were being leavened. They were being corrupted by error in doctrine, you see. And so that's why Yeshua warned the disciples not to do what the Pharisees and Sadducees do, because their practices were all about the leavening. And so it says here that then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees. If you go over to Matthew and go to chapter 6 and start at verse, let's go to Matthew 16 and start at verse 6. I'm going to read this from the International Standard Version because it's a little easier to understand, but I'm going to interject what the King James says. In verse 6, Yeshua told them, "Watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." He says, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." As they began to discuss this among themselves, they kept saying, "We didn't bring along any bread." You see, they totally missed the point right there. That they thought that he was talking about something totally different. Knowing this, Yeshua asked them, "You who have little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you don't have any bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you collected, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000s and how many baskets you collected? How can you fail to understand that I was not talking to you about bread? Beware of the yeast, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And then in verse 12 it says, "Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the yeast, the leaven used in bread, but of the teaching of the Sadducees." You see, the teaching, the error, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's the doctrine. Leaven has to do with false doctrines, you see. That's why it's important for us to understand this. Because while we're going around looking for sins within our lives, we may be comparing our lives to a false list. If you are trying to follow the Talmud and you're looking for sins that you committed against the Talmud, you're looking at the wrong list. You see, the thing that you gotta look at is that you're absolutely keeping the Talmud or trying to keep the Talmud. If you are looking at some church's list of what they say are sins, and by the way, there are 33,000 denominations, and each one of them have a little bit different variation on what constitutes sin. They don't go back into the Torah and get God's list of sins. No, they have their own list of sins. And so when you come up to Passover and you're looking at their list of sins, you're looking at the wrong list of sins. See, and it wouldn't be that way if you were not involved in the false doctrine, if you were not involved in the leaven, if you were not involved in their sourdough, you see? That's what leaven is. It's the false doctrine. It's the false teachings. It's what other people lay on you. That's what leaven is. Now look, here's something that you need to know about leaven. First of all, it works silently and secretly. It spreads by contact. It affects the whole loaf. It changes every particle with which it comes into contact, and it changes that what it comes into contact with into its own kind. So when that false doctrine gets into you, you are now corrupt, and you are changed into what that false doctrine did when it came in contact with you. Leaven, false doctrines, can only be destroyed by purging them out of the loaf or out of the lump. No part of a false doctrine can be permitted to remain, or it will begin to take over, you see. And it only takes a little bit to do the job on the whole loaf. You've heard the expression that one bad apple spoils the whole bushel. Well, that's the way it is. Now, we come out of our Christian churches and we convert to being Hebrews and we are doing the Sabbaths and we're trying to do everything that the Lord wants us to do, but we come out with our Christian baggage. So that's the leaven that we have to look at, folks. The leaven represents the religious baggage that interferes with our true expression of faith, with our true path, with our true walk with the Lord. Because if we impose those false doctrines on ourselves, then we're going to be likely to impose them on other people. And so then we become the sourdough that spreads and corrupts them and corrupts their loaf. You see, they are a lump of bread too, a lump of getting ready to be baked. You understand what I'm saying? And so we have to look within ourselves and get rid of the false doctrines, our baggage. This is error. This is not sin. This leads to sin, and so at the same time that you are looking at the leaven in your life, that you're looking at the false doctrines in your life, at that moment you're also getting at the sin too. But it's a false doctrine, it's leaven, to explain to people that leaven has to do with sin. Because that's only getting to the symptom. It's not getting to the cause. The cause of the sin is the false doctrine. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to, every year, go through this process of examining ourselves for false doctrines. And like, Now, what do I mean by false doctrines? Well, you know, there are so many ways that we can get off track, but one of the ways that we can get off track is to do what the Pharisees did. We can say that, well, if you're going to come into our little Hebrew group, you know, we're going to all convert to Judaism, so you have to convert to Judaism too. Some groups are doing that. Some people are doing that. They are converting to Judaism. They are accepting that sourdough into their lives. That's one false doctrine. Another false doctrine is that you have to speak the name a certain way, or that you have to be on a certain calendar. Those are all false doctrines when we go to imposing them on other people. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily expressing the ideas, bringing them forth, but when we have brethren who say, I will not fellowship with you over this, then they're touting leaven. They're touting false doctrine. And when somebody tries to tell you how to keep the Sabbath aside from, you know, what the Lord said about keeping the Sabbath, and they don't want to fellowship with you because you don't keep the Sabbath like they do, that also is false doctrine. It's leaven. So really what our search at Passover has to be about is, what did the Lord say? If the Lord said this, then we stick with that. But if the Lord didn't lay this burden on us, if he didn't give us a specific instruction, even though somebody else says he did, if we can't find that in Scripture, then it's not for us. It is false doctrine, it's yeast, it's leaven. And so what getting the leaven out actually does for us is make us have to go back to the Torah annually at Passover and compare the things that we believe and the things that people have thrust upon us to believe against what the Lord actually says. That's what it means to get the leaven out of our lives, you see. Now, why does unleavened bread come at the time of the Exodus? Well, it's because at the Exodus, we're on the run. You know, when we're on the run, we don't have any time for anything but the very basics, right? And so we, at the time of unleavened bread, act like, you know, pretend like we're going through that period, we're on the run, and we only have time to do the basics. If you're on the run and you want to obey the Lord, but you don't have time to cart all that extra stuff with you, then what you do is you go back and get the basic understanding, and you pick up his unleavened bread called the Torah, and you run with that, and you forget all the other stuff, right? And in fact, we know that this is the case because they ran out of food after a few days, didn't they, going into the wilderness, because they came out with just the basics. And oh, by the way, it's kind of good to run out of food. Why? Because then the Lord gets to feed us. Then we have to look to him to feed us. And so then, when he feeds us, then we get greater understanding. You know what? You can't get a better understanding of the Scripture as long as you are carrying around the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Christian church, the leaven of the Jews. You can't get a better understanding of what he wants from you until you let go of that leaven. Because as long as you're hanging on to that leaven, you're actually hanging on to somebody else's personal walk. See, this is the thing we don't understand. The Torah gives us great latitude in how to walk with the Lord. We each get to make our own decisions about it. But if we take the leaven of someone else upon us, then we've taken their ideas, their walks, their interpretations upon ourselves, and therefore we become a leavened loaf rather than an unleavened loaf, where we're just doing the basics until the Lord tells us to do more. See, this is the thing that we have to understand in our walk with the Lord. There are things that he tells us to do, and then there, you know, communally, that he wants everybody in the Hebrew nation to do. Jews, you know, the house of Judah, the house of Israel, all 12 tribes, everybody in those, that's in the kingdom, you know, they all get to do these things. He wants us all to do these things. But then he wants us to come to him, to customize our walk with him, to make it personal between him and I. So, for instance, on the Sabbath, whereas I may just lollygag around and you know, get online and have my assembly with people online, and that's fine for me in my walk with the Lord, maybe he wants you to get out and go over here to that assembly. Or maybe for somebody else, he wants you to go over here and go to that different assembly over there because, you know, maybe there's something you need over there, fellowship from that particular place. Now, I'm not talking about let's not listen to our teachers. Let's not get an understanding by listening to our teachers. But let's get an understanding based on our relationship with the Lord. Let's listen to what other people say and learn from their mistakes and learn from what they tell us. But let's not take their baggage upon ourselves, you see. Let's not try to walk our walk the way they walk their walk. That really is what leaven comes down to, isn't it? That you're literally taking on yourself somebody else's walk with the Lord. And what does he say in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11? No offering by fire is to be made before the Lord that has leaven in it. So you're not supposed to be bringing somebody else's ideas with you before the Lord. See? That's just their interpretation of things. Doctrines are nothing more than a person's interpretation of what they think the Lord said. And maybe it was what the Lord said to them, but it may not be what the Lord said to you. So you have to get wise and understand exactly what the Lord said, for that applies to 100% of the people in his kingdom, and then understand how he wants you to walk that out. For instance, just because he said that everybody in the Hebrew kingdom can now bring offerings to me doesn't mean that you have to bring one every day. There might be somebody in your midst that has to bring one every day, but is that you? But what if that person decides they need to bring an offering every day because that's maybe the Lord told them, bring an offering to me every day, you know, for maybe just for a while, right? Well, what if they make that a doctrine and say, you have to do it now? You see what I'm saying? So then, when you come before the Lord, you're coming with that person's idea before the Lord. You're not coming with your own. See, the Lord says, leave the leaven out of it because it contaminates, it corrupts your personal walk with him. So that's why it's important for us to understand exactly what leaven is. You know, Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, purge out, therefore, the old leaven. That means your old way of thinking. And today in the Hebrew roots community, that is our Greek thinking. That's our Christian baggage. That's our whatever we came with. And all that other stuff that we argue with each other over. And that stuff that doesn't mean a hill of beans. He says, purge it out of there that you may be a new lump. See, when you get rid of the old leaven, you actually become a new lump, and you now are a lump that the Lord can work with. And he says, as you are unleavened. See? So you become a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And in Galatians 5:9, he warns us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Again, you only need a little bit of false doctrine to become corrupt. And here is something else that Paul said about leavening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, he said, your boasting is not good. You know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough, don't you? Get rid of the old yeast, that old leaven, so that you may be a new batch of dough, since you are to be free from yeast or leaven. For the Messiah, our Passover, has been sacrificed. So let's keep celebrating the festival neither with old yeast or old leaven, nor with yeast that is evil and wicked, but with yeast-free or leavened, unleavened bread that is both sincere and true. Now, there are two things I want to point out from you here. Because the boasting is that I can keep the law so good that I can be saved. You see, that's the Pharisaic and the Sadduceic, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that's their idea. That's, in fact, that's the Jews' idea today. That they can keep the law good enough to be saved, and then they would have, you know, a reason to boast. You see, and what's going on here in this chapter is that there's sexual immorality going on in that congregation. And so, apparently there was some boasting going on that, you know, they could handle it or they could, you know, save this guy or turn this thing around because, you know, they were so good. And, you know, even the Lord can't do that if the sinner doesn't want it done. But apparently, there was this idea going on. And then, of course, you know, the boasting that goes on where the Torah is concerned also, lends itself to thinking that the law can save you. The law does not save you. Yeshua saves you. He was sacrificed for us. He became our unleavened bread so that we would know how to be unleavened ourselves, you see. But the other thing I want to point out here is that unleavened bread is sincere and true. So therefore, leavened bread, bread that has leavening in it, is insincere and false. You see, the Bible gives us these definitions of leavening on its own. We don't have to go around saying that leaven is sin. No, leaven is false doctrine, insincerity, and it is false. And therefore, that's what we need to be looking for when we come to our Passover this year. Now I want to look at some scripture that seems to contradict what I've just told you. Part of that is in Matthew 13:33, where it says, He told them in another parable. You know, in this chapter, He's speaking to the audience, and He's giving them parables. And it says, The kingdom from heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. And so, it sounds here like Yeshua is saying, you know, because the kingdom of heaven is a good thing, right? That the kingdom of heaven is a corrupt. Well, let's take a look at this and see why Yeshua would say such a thing. First of all, who is the woman that he's talking about? You see, the Lord wasn't just talking about some unnamed woman. He doesn't waste words that way. So who is the woman? Well, the woman he's talking about is his bride, and she hid 3 measures of meal till the whole loaf was leavened, you see. Now, what is that talking about? This is talking about the kingdom the way that it is, you see. It's talking about how we come before Him leavened. And I'm going to show that to you in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 16 and 17. It says, Even to the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering to the Lord, and you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. Wait a minute. He just told us that we're not supposed to have leaven in our lives, and now here he is presenting us to the Lord as baked loaves with leaven in them, and he said here that the kingdom of heaven is like a leavened loaf of bread, you know, that from the woman, from the bride. What he's doing here, see, this is talking about the day of proclamation, Shavuot, and it's telling us that we came out of Passover where we looked at our lives as being getting out the leaven, And now we're 50 days later, and guess what we already are? We're already back in our false doctrine, but he accepts us in this manner as the first fruits to him. Why? Because he knows our struggle. He knows that the Messiah is the only one who is able to, in the final analysis, get us out of this bad cycle of being leavened. Now, those two loaves represent the two houses, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And they are being presented, as I said before, on the day of proclamation, Shavuot. And, you know, this is the day that at some future date he's going to wave us before the Lord just before his kingdom arrives, you see. So at some future year, there's going to be this final thing where before the kingdom comes, he's going to have us before the Lord in a leavened state. And then he's going to bring us into the kingdom, and we're still going to be celebrating Shavuot in the kingdom. What does that tell us about the coming kingdom? That in the kingdom, there's going to be false doctrine. There is going to be error. And that leading up to the war, that's what leads up to the war, is at the end, this error in people's thinking. So, you know, we believe that we're coming into a kingdom where everything is going to be a utopia. No, that's not what it's going to be. We know even from the prophets that there are going to be people who refuse to obey him and come up to worship him. He says, and if they don't come up from Egypt to worship me at the Feast of Tabernacles, I'll send them no rain. So there's error. There is leaven, and it's going to be in the kingdom from heaven. Now, I call it the kingdom from heaven because Matthew is the only writer to use this phrase, kingdom of heaven. And we don't really understand what that means now, because in the Greek text, it doesn't say kingdom of heaven. It just says kingdom heaven. And there's no connector word there, you know, to say, well, it's kingdom and heaven, or kingdom of heaven, or kingdom to heaven, or kingdom from heaven. There's no connector word there. So I believe that what we're talking about is the kingdom from heaven, the one that Yeshua brings from with him when he comes from where he is. See, Matthew is referencing the where the kingdom comes from. Yeshua right now is in heaven, but he's coming from heaven to earth to set up his kingdom. So to me, it makes more sense, if I'm going to put a connector word in there that, you know, we have to have in our English language because it's not there in the Greek, then we need to probably use from. But again, you know, that's my interpretation and my doctrine, which is another reason why I say, verify what I say, okay? Don't just accept what I say, because I don't want you getting my walk. I want you to just get understanding, but I don't want you to pick up on any of the false doctrine that may come out of my mouth. And oh, by the way, we don't have any teachers on the earth. There haven't been for a long time any teachers on the earth who don't have some kind of baggage and some kind of false doctrine, some kind of filters in their own teachings now. It's just, that's why he has to come back. This whole end time scenario, this whole end time kingdom is corrupt with leaven. Well, I hope that I haven't bored you to tears with this, and I probably have left you with more questions than I gave you answers to. But the idea here is for us to understand that leaven does not mean sin. Leaven means doctrinal error that leads to sin. And when you get out the doctrinal error, you actually get the sin out, which is why Hasatan does not want you understanding what leaven really is, because you never really get the sin out, do you? And that also leavening comes from everywhere. And don't pick up on everybody else's walk. Have your own walk with the Lord. Just do the basics of what He said and then let Him tell you how to fill in the blanks, how to fill in the how-tos and the where-tos and the whens. You know, let Him tell you the answers to your questions, like, well, how do I do that? Let Him tell you. Listen to the teachers, get ideas, and if they happen to say something that appeals to you, ask the Lord. And if He says, yes, that's good for you to do, then fine, do it. And if He says, no, that's really not what I wanted you to do, I'd rather have you do this thing, then do what He says. Because you see, it's only when we get the leaven out that we can truly be obedient servants in our spiritual life with the Lord. So with that, I'm going to leave you. Shabbat Shalom.